Welcome to today's podcast titled Your Electric Reality. Today we have with us Brent Jeffries, who's the VP of Field Operations, Safety Instructor for Beer Meters, and also the founder of ECOS, which is the Electric Culture of Safety for folks that don't know. Brent, welcome to the podcast.
I appreciate it, Nick. Thanks for having me aboard, man. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You do a lot in the industry. You're always at our conferences. You're always supporting training and knowledge, which you do through ECOS and obviously at Beer Meters. So thanks for being a part of this.
No, it's wonderful. Yeah, thank you.
So today's topic, we were looking at your electric reality. Talk to me about that. Where did that kind of idea come from and what triggered it as a topic of discussion for you?
So I've been with Beer Meters going on 10 years now. And for going on 8 years, I've been going around the country and training what now is called line worker safety and tool competence all around the country, coast to coast, Canada, Brownsville, Texas, the Keys, Florida, the Keys, Electric Cooperative, everywhere, even some international, just going out. And we've been doing this for no cost all around the country. And what we've done is we use our products, our tools that we manufacture here in South Carolina, where I happen to be. It's beautiful outside today. And I wish I was outside actually with you on this podcast. But what's really neat about this is I went to the folks and early on about 8 years ago, and I said, look, I said, I don't want to show our tools. I don't want to be a salesperson. That's not who I am. I said, I want to start doing lineman safety and tool training, and we're going to show up first come, first serve, and we're just going to do this on site at the, whether it's a municipality, an investor-owned, contractor service center, or maybe an electric cooperative, and first come, first serve. It doesn't matter, and I've done this. It doesn't matter if they have three linemen, which I've done three linemen at some small municipalities, or it doesn't matter if they have hundreds of linemen, like I've done that too. It doesn't matter. And we're just gonna present this and show them how proper work methods. We're gonna show them and give them knowledge and understanding, which is so important, the hows and whys behind it. What's going on when they work with a particular equipment, overhead, underground? What's going on around them, their environment, by using our tools, proper functionality, work methods, tool methods, and go over incidences and how they could have been prevented. So been doing this. It's real popular. We got a lot of YouTube videos, getting more and more into podcasts, obviously. The Beer Meters YouTube channel we got tons of videos. And then what we did is starting about 2.5 years ago, I talked to a bunch of folks, David McPeak, talked to Danny Raines. I talked to Jimmy Vaughn, Mac Turner, and a whole bunch of folks. Billy Martin, and I talked to those folks. And I said, Alita Wilkins, and I said, "Look, guys, we Beer Meters. We've been doing this, and we're spending all this money to present safety, and we're giving back to the industry. And the manufacturers around the country, they really don't do that. Give back."
Yeah.
And I said, we can't do this alone. So we need your help. We need your companies. We need you guys to pay for your trip to South Carolina, a live line training center. And you guys need to start giving back. You guys have been blessed. You guys have received a great income. And these folks need what's up here, your understanding, all your experience, your passion, everything. We've got to share this with the new generations of line folks coming up. We've got to share this. And I just, you know, who am I? And I went to them and I didn't think it was going to work. And they all agreed to it. So we started Electric Culture of Safety. And everybody is involved. Everybody's helping out. As of now, we have over 12,000 members that are registered. Wow. And we share this. All these monthly webinars for no cost. Nobody pays for this. The companies that share, the people that share, people are paying to speak and share their passion out of their own personal pocket. We have speakers that have done that. It's amazing what we're doing here. And so I'm listening to all these experiences. I'm hearing all these incidences that they've experienced. I mean, decades ago, 30 years ago on to today. And it is freaky hearing all their stories, different parts of the country, in the desert, they're in the swamps, they're in snow, they're in sleet, they're in rain, they're in a dry, beautiful day. And I'm hearing all these incidences and it's like, what the heck? And then what was weird is I got this information regarding OSHA, and I got this information regarding their 2004 T&D partnership, to where they brought folks in to study over 500 deaths, fatalities within our industry. And I started looking at that. And since about 2005 till today, there has been no change in SIFs, serious injuries and fatalities. There's been no change.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is going on? And then
Bill Martin says that a lot too, you know. We've discussed that. We talk a lot, we do a lot, but the numbers, we gotta look at the numbers, and if they're not changing, we gotta do something different. And
different.
You know, I think there's, if I could quote Danny here, you know, Danny always says that the younger generation learns different. Bill says that as well. They went from a kind of a command relationship to, you know, these guys are asking questions, why am I doing that? And which is good. It's a different way of learning. And but that knowledge transfer from the older generation to the younger generation isn't happening as fast and as much as it should be. And so I think what you're saying with these ECOS webinars and the training with you doing, you have multiple trailers, correct?
You don't. So we just pastured at one, the old one, and it's just wore out, man. I mean, it's wore out. So we have a brand new one, and my brother Joe Beer, he should have it outfitted, he says, early this summer.
Okay. Yeah. So with these trailers, you know, you're able to start that knowledge transfer at all levels, you know, and through the webinars, and we try to do that from our side with the training we do from Instant Profession Magazine, the conferences, which you're a big part of, and we thank you. But it's important. It's very important, because at the end of the day, the goal is get people home safe, get them home to their family, you know?
Yeah. So again, mentioning Mr. Billy Martin, my buddy and friend for, gosh, going on 3 years, I reached out to him about 3 years ago, and I watched him on a video regarding a couple of deaths in New York several years ago. Mm-hmm. And he came on this video and he talked about situational awareness. And I still have the video and I will always keep it. It's just flat beautiful. But watching him, I saw something in him through his words, through his expression, that I hadn't seen before. And I reached out to him because I needed to know this guy. And, you know, I didn't know if he's going to tell me to pound sand or anything, but he's the one that started turning me on to our electrical reality, which this industry is lacking. In fact, I try to give everybody that comes to ECOS, including David McPeak, I call him the Grand Master of Safety. Okay.
Sure, he likes
that. But it's true. Yeah. They call him the Grand Master of Safety. And it's funny because he said, hey, I don't agree with that title. I don't deserve that title. And I said, hey, I'm sorry, David, but whenever people are listening to the Grand Master in their training, the sensei or the person training them, they never call themselves the Grand Master. The students do. So I'm calling you the Grand Master, David. And he's like, okay. But Billy's the Grand, Bill, I call Billy the missing link.
Yeah.
I do. And it is so true. So I'm starting to meld what we've been doing is started as far as showing using our tools, Beer Meter's products, so accurate that up to 1 volt, true RMS voltage up to 1 volt. So using our tools, I can literally show the voltage on my body, PPE, when I'm working safe and if I'm working unsafe. I can show the difference, literally. And everybody's minds just, you can see them light up when they see this.
Yeah.
And we got plenty of videos. But what I want to do now is use our products to show them the physical electric reality, their electrical reality. And now I also want to show them your electrical reality as far as the consciousness and our human connectivity. And that, using the tools, proving both the seen, which you can't really see electricity, but our meters can show you. So you see it.
Yeah.
See, I was believing, right? But also getting that light to come on as far as that human connectivity and building and forming a line team. That's what's missing.
Yeah. I would say, you know, obviously I'm not a lineman, but, you know, growing up, I played a lot of sports. Connecting with your teammates, you really develop a synergy with each other. You're looking out for each other.
Yeah.
You have the same goal as each other. And all of that stuff is kind of what we're talking about with connecting with your line crew, and looking out for, you know, hey, you're being unsafe. You know, I feel more comfortable telling you, hey, you're making a mistake or that you're not doing that right if we're connected. If we're not, there's hostility between us or we don't have that connection, maybe I don't say something, you know, and God forbid something happens. But I do think it's important to sync with your coworkers, just like your friends, just like your neighbors. It creates a safer work environment. And I know Bill Martin really, you know, I'm about the same with you as about 3 years, and we have discussions when he's rowing, you know, on the lake in the morning. You know, he thinks about things a little differently, and, you know, it goes back to, and this may sound gross to some people, but women working in an office and they sync up, you know, their menstrual cycle. Like, it's, there's something in us that connects us as long as we're
looking
to it. And it's hard, I think, with these line crews. They all have, you know, maybe some egos or they've been doing it forever, and it's hard to get them all in synchronization. So I think that is an important mission, you know, if we're going to change the numbers, is getting these crews synced up.
So a part of that line team is you have apprentices, you have supervisors, foremen, you have CEOs, you have groundmen, you have the journeymen, you have all these different positions. And that's their job title. But when we're at work, this is what has to begin. We already know our places in our particular company. We know our places. Everybody else knows our positions. Everybody else knows that, oh, well, you're a guard, you're a tackle, you're the quarterback. Everybody knows all that. We don't have to say that. But what we need to start saying, instead of, oh, you're the CEO, no, what we need to start thinking is that we're a line team. It's not about being a journeyman or apprentice. Okay. That's what we are, but we need to stop talking like that. We need to start talking. We are a team, a line team. All right. So, you know, what do the SEALs call themselves? Do they call themselves Navy SEALs? They call them a team.
Yeah.
They're SEAL team. So we need to be the line team, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's lacking. And hey, you played the games. You played the games, sports in the cul-de-sac, you know, in a grass field. You've done all the games, okay? And everybody that you've played with, there's always a couple of people on your team that you don't like. Yes or no?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's always people in life that are going to have difference in opinions, difference in maybe some core values and things like that. But at the end of the day, when you're on a team, you have to look past that, because you have what? One goal. And exactly. On a line crew, it's maybe two goals. Getting home safely should be number one, and number two should be getting the work done. You know,
yeah, so that's okay. So two goals. Nope. There's only one goal. Okay.
Okay.
Being aligned team. Now this is, and what you just said is so tip. I love it. I'm glad you said that. There's two goals. Get home. Okay. Safe. That's one. And then the second one is get the work done. Nope. That's not it. Being aligned team. That's it. That's all the goal is. And what happens is if we control the ball, which is right here. Okay. The ball is our consciousness and we have a line team. There's not this, there's not that. If we control the ball working together, what happens is getting the work done is a byproduct.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
It's byproduct. Oh, guess what? Getting home safely is a byproduct.
Right. That makes sense. You know? That's a good way to look at it. You know, and I think the other thing, too, is when you're, like you said, there's all these different levels, right? You know, CEO and manager and all these different positions. But when you're a team, right, you don't care what somebody is, what their business card says or what their title is.
Exactly.
You're concerned about the goal, right? And but if you're not, it becomes a chilling effect, right? Maybe you can't voice your opinion on something that would make your crew safer. Maybe you can't call out somebody because you don't feel comfortable. And that stuff's just a social construct. At the end of the day, you have to get past that stuff because, you know, like you said, being a line crew is the most important thing. And you're out there day in and day out doing this job. It's not an easy job. Mm-hmm. And we need it. It's vitally important. So you have to get past yourself and you have to just come together as a line crew. And it's hard to do that. I mean, what has your experience been as you go out on these crews? How do you facilitate that?
Man, I have been, like I said, training around this country to tens of thousands of linemen, quite literally. And I have been to where the safety guy, I have been to where the CEO, I have been and seen flat out right in front of my face, witnessed it, full, easy to tell. It's not a hidden thing. You see it, body language, how they act, how their in words, the inflection. You can see this. I have seen the CEO all the way down to the apprentice, and how their voices and how they reject that team atmosphere. I have seen it.
Yeah.
From everybody. And this is, we need to be trained and taught to recognize these things and pause. You know, we talk about if we see if we see something physical that's about to happen, that is a possible incident, that we need to stop, we need to have that stop work authority. But we always talk about it in the natural, a thing, a noun. But we need to train the leaders to where they recognize what's going on inside of somebody, that should worry them. Not the fact that there's an alligator over there in that swamp that's starting to kind of weave its way up to the guys working, you know, reconductoring that line and working their way, that alligator working up or maybe... maybe something's loose on the equipment that they're installing, or maybe it's being lifted incorrectly or the ties are wrong. What about training our guys to recognize voice inflections, worry in someone's face? We need to train our folks to pause and build capacity, the capacity to fail safely. Not just in the physical things, but we need to build that capacity to fail safely in our emotions, how we're reacting. If we're upset, if someone's upset on that crew, there's a dysfunction. There's a disconnect right here on that line team. And that's something to worry about.
Yeah. And I agree. It goes back to just any relationship in your life. You always hear communication is key, right? people don't feel safe to talk or, mm-hmm. or voice their concern or opinion, right? They won't. And you have to make it safe for them to still do it. You know, and I go back to you have to get over yourself. A lot of people have egos, right? Oh, I'm a manly man or whatever. I can't voice my concern. I can't have emotions, you know, but we all do. And we just have to get over ourselves and come together as a team, you know,
exactly. That
goal. You made a comment about stop work authority, and I'm just triggering a conversation I had with Bill and Bill Martin. And he said that, look, everyone at every level of that line crew should have stop work authority and be able to execute it, right? Mm-hmm. They all say they have the ability, but they should all be able to feel comfortable actually executing stop work authority. And I think that goes back to the goal of being a line crew, you know?
Yes. And I'll take it another step. I would like to see our line crews, our line team, mm-hmm. allow everybody on that crew to also have line team huddle authority, to where they can call everybody in for a line team huddle halfway through. Why is a job brief? We sign off on a job brief and that's it. And then we lower the buckets. We raise up our jack stands, you know, we throw our equipment in the truck, and then everybody hauls tail to get home. What happened that day that was successful? Why can't we spend a few minutes, not written? No, forget checking the boxes. Okay, huddles, we do not check boxes. Huddles, we do not document nothing. Huddles are between us. This doesn't go back necessarily to the CEO every single day or to the operations managers. No, we don't want, forget the paperwork. This is between us, mano to mano, okay? And we need to have that line team huddle authority. Think about that one.
Yeah.
Let's take it to another step and have the apprentices practice that. You know, let's have the safety guy come out and maybe talk to one of the apprentices. Do they have permission to even do that, to where they practice the event right on the site, to where that apprentice stops everybody and has not stop work authority, no, line team huddle authority, and let the apprentice, hey guys, I'm kind of, you know, ever since, you know, that storm's coming in and you guys are hungry, it's hot, we're tired, and I have a few concerns right now that I didn't have when it was cooler in the morning, and that storm, the clouds weren't being built at that moment.
Yeah.
But why don't we practice that?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, the other stigma I kind of think of is, you know, the safety guy is the no fun police, if you will, you know, and we got to get back to, we're a team. This is all, we're all in different positions, but we are a team to get the job done and to be a team. And I think that's really important. It's hard to do to get people to think differently out there, you know, and again, these are some of the conditions are pretty grueling, you know, it can be really hot and humid. It can be, you know, after a storm where you have upset citizens around you as you're trying to do your work. You know, it's hard to swallow your pride and get, but once you do, and you see it in, and I go back to my sports analogy, but you see it in some of these championship teams, and they just know, you know, I go back to probably my favorite team in the world. I'm from Chicago, so I'm going to go with the Bulls, you know, and Rodman, such a, you know, left field character, crazy. And they just, and he was different than the rest of the team, but they just knew they had to let him go do his thing and party and come back. And he was synchronized with the team, you know, Pippen and Jordan, Kukoc, like, the way that synergy worked, they just understood how each other worked.
Yes.
And their capabilities. And that's goes back to, how do we get our line crews to be like that?
So we've got to make it to where the line, and again, you brought it up again, our line crews, we've got to make it to where the line team, to where it's safe to be all inclusive. So in other words, everybody's accepted, whether it's the guy that didn't grow up on a farm, he never even planted a post hole and planted a post and eyeballed a fence. He didn't know how to milk a cow or ride a horse, okay? And he came into line work after playing video games for 5 years straight and then realized that that's a brain drain and it's not even real. It's not even reality. And it's like, you know what? I got to stop playing these video games. I want to work outside. I want to get vitamin D in my hands that are soft. I want calluses. I want to change my life. And I want to live in this change and be the change. But that guy, he's got to be accepted. He's got to be accepted. It's got to be safe to learn on a line team. Number two, right? It's got to be safe to learn. So in other words, the guy that has no idea what's going on, he's got to have that safety built-in capacity where he can ask questions. He can ask why. He can participate in these discussions on site or in the meeting room or in the training yard. Okay, so it's got to be safe to learn. And then we've got to make it to where it's safe for everybody without retribution to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, what about the guys that had a near miss or an incident, simple, no big deal, last week? Is it safe for them at the company tailboard, which I've seen one prior to me going on and traveling around the United States? I had one company out of all the companies I go to, and it just warmed my heart, where they actually had a tailboard prior to me showing them and speaking to them. And I was like freaking out. And you know what? They had two incidences the week before. Simple, no big deal. But yeah. But what was neat to see, Nick, is they were accepted and nobody made fun of them and nobody accused them. Nobody was blaming. Nobody was pointing fingers. CEO was there, safety guy. I mean, everybody was there. And they were able to share freely their story. So it's got to be safe to speak up. The fourth thing is it's got to be safe to challenge the status quo.
Yeah.
And you know, the CEO has to make it safe. The operations manager, if he sees something that all of a sudden after 30 years, 40 years doing the same old, that there's a more efficient, a safer way to do something, he has to allow it. But check this out. Not only is it safe, it's got to be safe to challenge the status quo. Well, what about, again, let's go back to the apprentice, challenging and questioning the superintendent in a very positive way, encouraging method of speech. And we got to train this, okay? Mm-hmm. It's got to be trained. What about that? Is it safe for him to challenge, walk up to the superintendent and say, hey, man, I'm just a little concerned, boss. What about this? And so those are the four things that we've got to bring into the line teams.
Yeah, I would say kind of your last point there, you know, something we did when I was going through school, you know, in college, we would do projects. And those projects, so I was in graphic communication, and we would all have the same project. We'd all have the same parameters. We'd go through and execute. And then at the end, we would stand in a circle and we would show our project. We would explain what we did and why we did it. And then we'd allow everyone to make constructive criticism as long as it was constructive.
Yes.
And good points. And it really taught me to take criticism and receive it as well as give it. And I think that's what you're talking about is, hey, look, it's okay to speak freely, but it's also okay to give constructive criticism back. No matter what level you are.
Yeah.
And then one other point, the second thing I thought was it's got to be safe for you to be able to give that information. It's also got to be received, right? Information that's given and not received is just information. And so, yeah, you have to actively listen.
Yes.
A lot of times, and I've noticed it with myself too, where we'll have a discussion. I get excited about something and I hold that in my brain and I'm like, okay, I can't wait to give this comment, right? But you have to actively listen to what someone's saying and receive that information, you know?
Yes. So, and that's exactly it. And we've got to go through that training because our system that we reside in, our system is the opposite. Think about it. The what we live in, our environment, which environ, the ancient word environ, comes from an old French word, which means your surroundings. It means what encircles you. Now, you ready for this?
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with the physical. Mint is an old Latin term that means mente, mind.
Huh.
So your environment, we're trained in the training yard. We do our job briefings. Now, think about this, Nick. This is crazy stuff, but it's truly our electrical reality. And it's ours. We need to address this reality and that our environment has nothing to do with the physical things that normally we put on that job briefing or discuss hazards, physical hazards. No, our environment, when we start playing as a line team and working together as a line team, this environment, we're going to have not only knowledge of situational awareness, like Bill Martin talked about. Okay, but let's take it a step further. Let's go to the higher consciousness, which is not a new age thing and all freaky, but it is a new way of thinking. It is higher because it's more productive and it's safer. Remember, it's a byproduct.
Yeah.
More productive and safer is a byproduct. It's consciousness awareness.
I agree. I mean, I think it's important that, I mean, again, you go back to the numbers and not changing greatly year to year, right? We got to do something different. We can't do the same thing we're doing. What is the Einstein quote? It's like doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is, you know.
Insanity.
Insanity. There we go. That's
And that's what we're doing. So the insanity is that that's what we're living in. Insanity. Think about it. What happens? Okay, so we have a lineman that loses body parts. Let's say there's a death. Okay. So we have a lineman funeral, like Billy talks about. Okay. Learn helplessness.
Yep.
We do the same thing every time. We have the funeral. We add more training. We add another rule to our regulations, our rule book. It's thicker and thicker. We keep doing this. All right. We talk about it. We have a safety stand down, which is from the military, which makes you feel bad inside, like everybody's screwed up. Where's the positiveness in that? Okay, there's nothing encouraging and building up in the safety stand down in the words themselves. And the thing is, you ever heard of the saying, we are our worst enemy?
Yeah.
It's true. So what we need to do is we need to talk line team.
Yeah.
Here and come together and have that connectivity, have that human interaction, have the human interaction. When we have that human interaction, then as the synapses inside our brains independently work and they make us communicate with ourselves, our body parts. You know, you brought up the menstrual cycle.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing gross about that. That's nature. But it's also in our nature that we connect with each other electrically. Yeah. That's our electric reality. And that's what's missing because digitization of human beings has separated us from 100%. One another.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're the most connected we've ever been, and yet we're the most disconnected we've ever been.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Everything that we're doing is the opposite of what we need to be doing.
Yep.
Think about that.
I know.
And how are we going to change it? We need to be the change. Okay? So what happens is my wife and I, here's just a simple example. Okay? I'm just going to give you a home example. My wife and I, we don't watch the news. Why? Everything they tell you on the news, they want you to hear.
Yep.
Why? Because the more news you hear, it's all negative.
It is all negative. Yep.
It's all fuss, both sides of the aisle. Okay. You got red and you got blue fighting each other. Yep. Okay. Why? Because it creates us to divide from one another.
Yep.
That's the why behind the reason. Okay, so guess what? We turn off the TV. My wife and I, we take walks all the time.
Yep.
We sit, we watch nature. And when we connect, when we're driving to, say, this town or to the beach, I'm her eye. Bill brought up a great topic today. Really good, called blind spot. Oh, my God. Okay? I just lost my eye through retinal detachment, and I don't have an eye here. I can see maybe 50% of my old vision, and that's it. That's how it's going to be. So I've got a blind spot, okay? How I wish I could have that blind spot. But when we disconnect from one another out there as a line crew, not a line team, because when we're disconnected, we are not a line team.
Right.
You might play ball, but you're not going to be successful. You'll lose the game. You weren't a team that day. Think about that.
Yeah.
All right? But we're going to connect. So when my wife and I are going down the street, guess what? I'm not the apprentice, and I've seen this, and that's why I'm bringing it up. I got a journeyman lineman that's driving the truck, but I'm an apprentice sitting in the passenger seat while I'm getting paid. Okay, now listen to this. Two eyes are driving. Two eyes are on their cell phone, social media, TikTok. Okay? So now there's a blind spot in that line truck while they're getting paid. So if he's on his phone while they leave the service center getting paid, at that moment, there's a disconnect. They are not a line team, and there's a blind spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I mean, the whole thing is divide and conquer. You know, going back to your political analogy, I'm the same way. I don't look at news, at least in the normal sense. And, you know, we do the walks and stuff like that. And it's, you know, the whole point is the opposite of what we're trying to do here for Line Truth. What we're talking about is,
yes,
get everyone together, get people off these, what I call distractions. You know, yes, cell phones are huge distractions. They can be powerful tools, but unfortunately human nature seems to use them as distractions. And I just love how I can talk to you halfway across the country, right, at any time. Yes. We're the most connected we've ever been, and I just love that. We're the most connected we've ever been, but we're the most disconnected we've ever been.
Exactly.
That's just wild to me. We need to figure out how to get people on the same page, understanding each other, make it safe for them to speak up, and yes, get them working as for one goal, as a line crew.
Man, so David McPeak, okay, the grand master of safety, he in his book, Frontline Safety, The Art of Safety and all that,
yeah,
he brings up one thing in there. This is why he's the grand master of safety, and it's so true. He brings up one thing regarding safety, and when it's positive and when there's connection and when it's successful. And that one thing is we have to care about each other.
Yep.
We have to care about each other. We have to care about the line team. All right. So we're in high school and we want our team to win. Hey, I'll tell you what, when you're playing that game, you care about everybody on that team, even though two or three guys on that team, you don't like at all. You care about their performance. You care about supporting them. You make sure they had rest. You make sure that they're hydrated. You make sure that they are taken care of.
Yeah.
And that they perform at their top notch. Because if they perform at your top notch, the whole team is successful.
Yep.
But you got to care about the team. Hey, when work is done, hey, if you don't like that guy because he spits and he gets some spit in your car sometimes, or, you know, in your line truck sometimes, it drips on his chin and on his FR shirt. Hey, if that bothers you, that's fine. But when you're together, you're a team.
Yeah.
So no judging. We're not gonna be negative. We got to stay positive. And that's when we're on the top side of the lines, the sine wave.
Yeah.
Because there's positive side of electricity, how it moves, and there's a negative side on how electricity moves. And we've got to be on the positive side of the sine wave. And this is what I'm going to bring when I come to the conference, okay? But there's a negative side of that sine wave too. And everybody's going to see this. And I hope everybody takes pictures, and I hope everybody uses this PowerPoint slide for their future. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to turn this ship. It's not difficult at all.
Well, I think what we're talking about here is almost like a life skill, right? This obviously will benefit and help support and hopefully decrease numbers as we go, you know, in the utility industry. But this is something that you should be doing with your wife, your significant other, with your friends, you know, with colleagues. It's a life skill. And I think, you know, technology has kind of degraded that life skill. And if we can get back to just understanding each other, making it safe for each other to talk, the things that we've discussed in this podcast, ultimately we can affect change in all aspects of our life.
Yeah. You know, there's one thing I need to bring up. Okay. And this is what I'm sharing around the country, is that our linemen, our line workers, they are gifted. They are, they're geniuses. I share here with the folks at Beer Meters, and I tell them in our safety meetings, I tell them, you guys are geniuses. And if you have an idea, like Bill Martin says, it's because it came from you and you're a genius, share it. Yeah. But what we've got to get to, Nick, is we've got to realize that all this technology has been slowly, like you said, dumbing down, slowly feeding on our gifts and decreasing our gifts. And now we don't even realize that truly anymore that we are gifted and that we do make a difference and we do have purpose. Why is it that so many folks are on drugs and mental illness and commit suicide? Because the society has taken that away.
Yeah.
Their electric reality of who they are as a person, it has dissolved it, and they have no more hope. And we got to turn that all around, all right? And it starts with us, you and me, and we got to start getting there. Hey, we can use the electronics. We can use ones and zeros with discipline, knowing that it can also be destructive. We have to be wise, okay? So we got to know there's parameters. What side of the sine wave are we using that on at this moment? The negative side, where it's hazardous, causes grief, causes harm, loss, and injury? Or are we going to be on the positive side, which causes happiness, joy, longevity, and job, get this, ready for this, job retention? Why are these folks jumping from one job to another, chasing a dollar?
Yep.
A dollar stamped on the dollar bill says it's an IOU.
Yep.
It's not even real.
Yeah, it's not backed by anything today. Yep.
So why are we chasing? Now think about, why are we chasing debt? Why can't we just do our job, be a line team, and the dollar is a byproduct now? It comes to us because safety is a byproduct. Our tasks that we performed is a byproduct. Our human performance is a byproduct. Our human behavior is now a byproduct. Everything's a byproduct. But our electric reality with one another, our human connection, and our human reaction, if we could just focus on that one thing that David McPeak says, okay, is to care.
Yeah, it's when you restructure it like that as a byproduct, you know, the money, the, you know, earning potential. If you do a good job, if you guys have, you know, very limited accidents and no fatalities because you guys are a one unit, right? the company's more successful, they're going to get more jobs, that your work's going to expand, your pay's going to go up as a byproduct of that. And so that is a good way to think about it. And I guess I hadn't before this, you know, you and I had this discussion, necessarily put it in that context, but it's interesting and I like it. And it makes sense.
It's powerful. It's freaking powerful. Nick, it's freaking powerful. And it's like I say that Billy Martin is the missing link. Hey, you know, all credit to him. You know, he's taught me, David McPeak's taught me, Jimmy Vaughn, Mac Turner, all these folks, because I facilitate, guess what? ECOS, Electric Culture of Safety. So one of the blessings of facilitating ECOS is that we are forming a line team.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We're unifying. We're unifying the industry. First time ever. Now think about this, Nick. First time ever. And incident prevention, you guys are part of it. What's amazing is we could all be independent. All of us. Beer meters, incident prevention, the electric cooperative I trained last December, the investor owned that I gave a speech to a few weeks ago, the statewide I gave a speech to last week. We could all remain independent. There is no worries about that. But if we just put down these walls, and they're fake,
yeah,
these walls of being worried, these walls of being concerned, these walls of being vulnerable to our manhood, or we're vulnerable to, hey, I'm a stud and I'm tough. Yeah. That's all division. If we could break all that stuff down and come in the unity of a line team, I guarantee you those SIFs, you're going to see plummet.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
That'd be a great trend. You know, that would be a great trend. And, you know, I want to thank everyone for, you know, spending time with Brent and myself. Brent's going to be speaking at the IP Utility Safety Conference on this very subject. You know, are you bringing your trailer to, I haven't asked you this, but.
No, I can't drive anymore legally.
Right.
Yeah. Okay? So that I'm out, which I'm kind of in a way. I mean, if there's any good thing that's come out of, you know, losing a good eyesight out of one eye, that is a good thing, because I'm getting too old for that, man.
Yeah.
I am getting too old. But as far as sharing, as far as speaking and sharing everybody's wisdom that everybody shares with me, man, I could do that. And I never plan on retiring. So when I'm
like Danny.
No, when I'm no longer here in this body, then I'll rest. I'll have peace and I'll retire. But until then, no, we got to form a line team. And you and I are going to see this happen together.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah, I agree. And I, you know, like I said, for the folks that are coming to the conference, please sign up and go to Brent's, you know, session. And then we're also going to put, if you don't mind, your sign up for the ECOS webinars in the description. So look for that. And do you have any issues sharing your contact info, your email?
Sir. No, that's free. It's free. I did a power podcast in West Coast, California, and I gave him my phone number. And the reason why I gave him my phone number, and he was shocked, it's like, because no one's going to call me.
Yeah.
No one's going to call. And that's one of the things. People need to learn to reach out for help. People need to learn, hey, if someone's thinking about suicide, I want them to reach out for me. If they need training on how to become a line team, I want them to reach out to me, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got to stay available.
Yeah. Available, synchronized, and helpful. And obviously, you guys over at ECOS and Beer Meters are doing that. You know, we're doing that from incident prevention, our conference and stuff, and trying to share the knowledge with these folks. And hopefully, we do see a decrease as the years come, because that's ultimately the goal in SIFs. So, thank you again for spending time with us. Again, we'll put that contact info in the description, and sign up for ECOS if you haven't, because they got some really, really good content. So thanks again, Brent.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it, my brother.
All right. I'll see you at the conference down in Orlando on the 21st and the 23rd.
And I like your t-shirt. That's nice. I like that.
Glenn sent me a beer meters from their what show was that?
That was the International Lyman's Rodeo.
Yeah.
And we gave out 500 and they were gone like in minutes. So we're gonna do it again, and I'm thinking we need to do 1,000. International Lyman's Rodeo.
Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine how fast they went. Your booth was probably flocked with folks, but no, they're really cool. Please check them out, and yeah, thanks again, and let us know you want to do another one soon.
Yeah, anytime, Nick. Anytime, buddy.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All right, be blessed.
Let safety shine by joining us for the IP Utility Safety Conference in Orlando, Florida, this May 21st through the 23rd. Register today at utilitysafetyconference.com.
The views, information, and opinions expressed during this podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Utility Business Media and its employees. It is strongly recommended that you discuss any actions or policy changes with your company management prior to implementation.